Good morning, and you're all very welcome this morning on the St. Patrick's Day weekend. And we've had some beautiful weather, and pray that that continues. We're continuing our study in Paul's letter to the Philippians, to the church in Philippi, and we are in chapter 3, looking at verses 12 to 16 today. Now, when I was in middle school, which is what the U.S. calls the 7th and 8th grade, which for here is 1st and 2nd year, so early teenage years, like 12, 13, whatever that is, I was on the track team, and I ran the 400-yard and half mile. We weren't doing the meters then, and so I ran the 400-yard race, the half-mile race, the 200-yard and 400-yard hurdles, and the shot put. I wasn't fast, so the sprints were out. I wasn't the long-distance runner, so the mile was out. I could keep a good pace for the intermediate distances. So that's why I ran those. Surprisingly, I won a couple of ribbons for the shot put. I think I was given generous spots from nearsighted judges, but my favorite was the hurdles. I was decent enough, and I got first and second place ribbons a few times. Now, one day we had a few people sick on the team, and I was entered in nearly everything. I literally ran one race, finished it, ran over to the starting block just as the gun fired for the start of the next race. I won the shot put, again, a very generous mark and an angry football player who came in second. And I even threw the discus and the javelin, though I had never practiced those things. And no, I didn't kill anyone with the javelin. I might have injured myself, but that's okay. I came in second in the 200-yard hurdles and was lining up for the 400-yard hurdles, which was my favorite distance. And by that time, I was really tired. I took off as the gun sounded, and I was in the lead with two hurdles to go, but my strength left me on the next to last hurdle, and my foot clipped the bar, and I went flying head first into the cinder track. Now, did I get up and try to finish? No. I got angry. I kicked the cinders. Probably said something I shouldn't have. I gave up instead of getting up and working through the pain. And that was the only time I actually ever fell down in a race. Over the next few days, I was angry at myself for not jumping up to try and complete the race. And to be honest, that was the last race for me. I never ran track again. It was the last track meet of the year, and I didn't join the track team when I went on into secondary school. I didn't press on in the race, but I gave up. And we can be thankful that Paul never gave up. No matter what was happening in his life, he was pressing on towards the goal. And the reason why was because Jesus never gave up on him. As we'll read in a moment, he said, "I press on to make it my own, because Christ made me his own." How wonderful and amazing is that? That should be the only reason we press on towards the prize, because we are Christ's. He accepts us, broken as we are, and he makes us whole. Now, these few verses are filled with Paul's longing for Christ and his encouragement for the church to do the same. And as we look at these few verses, we will see Paul's confession, his pursuit of the prize before him, and his advice for the church to do the same. And you'll also know in his wording, I'm guessing Paul was a bit of a sports fan, the sports of the day, the athletics, the games, the Olympics, because these few verses are full of wording that would have been used more for athletic events than anything else. I hope you'll notice that, see that as we read through. So let me read Philippians 3. 12 to 16. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Now, when you listen to a motivational podcast or a TED Talk or whatever, that person can truly make you think that they have life all figured out. There is nothing wrong in their life, and they are sharing their wisdom with the rest of us who seem to barely have our head above water. But then their name pops up in the news, and maybe it's not for something good, and you realize they're just as fallible as the rest of us. Well, Paul had just given his great declaration of faith in verses 10 and 11 that we looked at last week, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. That's his declaration of faith. Now, if he sent this letter to me and stopped there, I would think there's no way that I can live up to Paul's standard of living. He has set the bar too high. And it seems that there's Jesus at the top and there's Paul just under him, and then I'm miles, miles below him. Look at Paul. Paul was chosen by God, by Jesus. He was given private tutoring lessons by Jesus and had every gift needed for church ministry. There was no one like Paul. But what did Paul say? Not that I have already obtained this and am already perfect. Seriously, Paul, you seem perfect to the rest of us, but he wasn't. He was a man and he had his problems. And after his great statement of faith, he follows quickly with his own confession. I'm not perfect. Not even close. I haven't obtained the prize yet, nor do I think I am deserving of this prize. No one is perfect this side of heaven. And I know people who think that they can reach a state of perfection while they're still living in this sinful world. That arrogant behavior keeps them from being perfect. I grew up in a denomination where people claimed this for themselves. Yet even as a kid, I could see that wasn't the case. Paul tells us later in the letter that our perfection is ahead of us in heaven. In verses 20 and 21, we'll look at this next week. It says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Paul doesn't leave his statement with, I'm not perfect. I'm not there yet. But he tells us of his resolve to press on, to make it my own. He's not giving up. Not like me in my failed hurdles event. I gave up and never attempted again. Paul confessed that he would never give up. The real reason is because of Jesus. Not because Paul had great resolve and energy, but that Christ made me his own. This is something we take for granted, but we should never do so. The Son of God who went to the cross for you made you his own, made you his child. Well, Paul has admitted that he's not perfect, and he continues to admit that. I've not made it yet. I'm not there yet. He says in these verses that he's pressing on, straining forward, pressing on. Three times in a few words, Paul emphasizes his resolve to keep going. In 1954, at the British Empire Games in Vancouver, Canada, one of the greatest matchups in the mile race took place. Two of the men in the race were Roger Bannister, the British doctor who became the first person to run the mile under 4 minutes, and he was matched up against the Australian, John Landy, who was the only other man in the world at the time who ran the mile under 4 minutes. And in that picture, that's John Landy in front and Roger Bannister behind him. Roger Bannister always had a strategy for his races. He would relax during the third of, and there's four laps to the race, the third lap, and save everything for the last lap. But as they began the third lap, Landy stretched out his lead and was ahead by a considerable distance. So Bannister had to adjust his strategy and increase his pace to catch up with Landy. He quickly cut the lead in half as they started the final lap. They were even. Landy ran faster and Bannister matched him. Both seemed to be flying. Yet Bannister felt that he would lose if Landy didn't slow down. And as they entered the last, turned the last corner with Landy slightly ahead, the crowd was roaring and Landy couldn't hear Bannister's footfall. And he looked back slightly. He looked back over his left shoulder, breaking his concentration, and that was all that Bannister needed. He sped away, and he won by 5 yards. Landy should have taken Paul's advice. Don't look back. Forget what lies behind. The only thing that matters is what is ahead of you, the goal, the prize set before you. Bannister stayed focused on that one goal, to reach the prize before him. So what was Paul saying? He wasn't saying to forget everything about the past. He was not saying that the past is unimportant. What he was saying was, don't dwell on your past sins. You have been forgiven. Don't dwell on your past accomplishments. Those were great and God used them, but don't rest on your laurels. Don't rest on your past wins. Those were yesterday's races, not today's. Roger Bannister had a strategy that worked in the past, but he had to change for the present day race. Landy was concerned about what was behind him, and Bannister took advantage of that mistake. Paul was saying to press on. Strain forward. Keep going. Don't boast on anything that you've done in the past, but boast about Christ and what he is doing now and the future that he is preparing for you. Now, not only forgetting what lies behind, but straining forward. To what is ahead. Look to the future that we will have with Christ. That is our ultimate goal and reward. Paul's use of athletic terminology, as I mentioned earlier, is throughout this portion of the letter. The Greek word for straining is based on the athletics at that time. It pictures a runner with his eyes fixed on the goal, his hand stretched out towards it, his body bent forward as he crosses the finish line. The word describes the runner's intense desire and effort to reach his goal. At the Paris Olympics, the greatest 100-meter run ever was won by 0.005 seconds. This is all 8 runners. They were only a difference of less than 0.1 seconds between all 8. Noah Wiles from the U.S. edged out Kishane Thompson of Jamaica. The official timekeeper explained that the winner is judged by the chest, not the foot, or hand or a nose, but the chest. and Lyle's straining forward with his chest, crossing the finish line before anyone else. And you'll notice in that picture there's a foot that's ahead of Noah Wiles' chest, but his chest was the first one to cross. He was straining towards the finish line. He strained with his chest crossing the finish line before anyone else. That's the visual that Paul wants us to understand. The intense focus on the finish line. Our finish line is with Jesus in heaven. And since we are forgetting what lies behind and straining towards what is ahead, what are we doing in the present? We press on. We keep going. Every day, every moment. We know what the prize is, and we must keep going every day, no matter what the world throws at us. We press on. Again, it is wording from the world of sports that Paul is using. We keep running the race that Jesus has set before us. We don't give up like I did in my hurdles. I've learned from that. That was the past. I learned and I've moved on. But the prize is upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. It is heaven. It is the prize that Paul has given everything else up that so that he can obtain. Everything that he mentioned about himself being the best of the best of the best of the best that we talked about last week, he'd give it all up for Christ. And since it's an upward calling, that means the race is here until we are called home to be with Jesus in heaven. We keep striving, straining towards that prize. Sorry for all the track references today, but blame it on Paul and his use of sports terminology. The year was 1923, and the two teams competing were Scotland and France. It was the 440-yard run, and the runners were shoulder to shoulder, bunched tightly together. One runner was pushed to the ground and off the track. Did he give up? No, he jumped up. He's already 20 meters behind by now, running as fast as he could, knees high, head back, as was the style of running at that time. And he caught up and he won the race. He was known as the Flying Scotsman from that moment on. He would say of himself that God made me fast. What would most runners do? Get angry, wave a fist, dust themselves off, and watch the end of the race? But not Eric Little. He said, I focus all my energy on the race, and seeing the goal, I fly to the finish. That's what Paul wanted of the church in Philippi. Keep pressing on, straining for the prize, flying to the finish. That's what Jesus wants for all of us to do. That's what he wants for Grace Baptist. Keep pressing on, fly to the finish. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:10, about himself, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not in vain. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but it was the grace of God that was with me. Pressing on, straining forward, pressing on, working hard, yet it's the grace of God. Grace, grace, God's grace. Do the work now, keeping your eyes fixed on the prize before you. Well, when did you start thinking that you were spiritually mature? I'm still on that journey. Compared to new Christians, maybe I am. But Paul continues with advice for the church. He says, let those of us who are mature think this way. He's talking about the spiritually mature Christians in the church. We need to have the mindset of a runner and our spiritual journey as a race with Christ as our goal, our prize. Let me read this from a different translation, a more modern translation. I think it's good to read other translations to help you understand. I routinely consult 4 or 5 other translations, such as the NIV, the New Living, the Message, King James. I read and preach from the ESV, the English Standard Version, but I compare it to other translations, and that's helpful. And sometimes I do like to quote the translation, a different one. And so here's these two verses from the Message. So let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. Let's hold true. Let's stay on the path. Paul knows that we can lose sight of the goal. He knows that we can be distracted by other things in the world. That's what he has been encouraging them to continue to do. Stay focused on Jesus and only Jesus. And warning them against falling for false teaching. Warning them not to get too complacent or comfortable. Don't look back on your successes, but keep straining forward. If they take their eye off their goal, if they're not sure, the Holy Spirit will reveal that to them. God will show them what they need to do to turn back to Him. So hold on. Don't let go. And the idea is really that of a relay race. You now have the baton of truth given to you by another person. Someone else has told you about the gospel. Someone else has told you about Jesus. And you accepted that. You're holding on to that truth. So hold on to it. And share it with someone else. Share the truth with others. And keeping your eyes fixed forward to Jesus. Well, Eric Little, that famed Christian runner from Scotland, who said that God made him fast. He won 2 medals in the Paris Olympics of 1924. And you can watch that story in the film, The Chariots of Fire. But he went on to be a missionary in China. And in 1932, when on his first furlough back from China, he married Florence McKenzie, and they moved back to China, and they had three daughters while they were in China. But due to hostilities with Japan, it was leading up to World War II, he sent his wife and 3 daughters to Canada to stay with her family, as he stayed in China to help the poor and continue to preach. He suffered many hardships, but he kept running for Christ, striving, straining towards the goal. He was placed in an internment camp as a prisoner of war in 1943, but he kept serving. He was serving the other prisoners. And in 1945, he died of a brain tumor, most likely from malnourishment. His grave was marked by a simple wooden cross with his name written in boot polish. His remains are now in the Mausoleum of Martyrs in China. But verse 13 seems to be a fitting epitaph for Eric Little. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize. What does that mean for us today? Well, how can I or do I strive towards the prize set before me? Basically, what Paul has been teaching in this letter is to live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ and using Jesus as our example for living and rejoice because of what Christ did for us on the cross. Strive to live as Christ. Press on in your spiritual life. Don't give up. Don't look back on your past sins. Don't look back on past successes. You can't dwell on those things anymore, and they don't help you moving forward. Today is a new day, and we continue to work towards the future glory that we will have with Christ. So press on. Now, Sundays and Wednesday night Bible studies are not the race. What is the race? Well, it's not Sundays and Wednesday nights. It's not the Wednesday night prayer meeting. Those are the checkpoints in the race. The race is every day. Spending every day with Jesus in prayer, reading scripture, helping your brothers and sisters in the church, helping your neighbor, living a life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't want to look back on our past, but to look forward to Jesus. Every day we are a few steps closer. So keeping our focus on the prize, pressing on, straining every day, and in the Camino, there was a lady in the group that always says to stop and take a look back at where you've been to appreciate how far you've gone that day. My thinking has always been that my feet remind me how far I've gone that day. Now, while a moment's glance and maybe a photo of that view as a reminder is okay, but the prize, the goal, is ahead. Each step is a step closer to the goal for that day. And that's how we should keep going. Keep pressing on. Keep striving, straining for the Lord, for the prize set before us, for the ultimate prize being with the Lord for eternity. Because this race of life is fleeting. And our prize is eternal. Let's pray.